And that's kind of what we wanted to talk about. We've been working on a lesson for the other class, and when it disbanded, I got a little bit of relief there for a few minutes. But we'll give it a shot. But we were looking at some of these books and trying to figure out, you know, if we wanted to go with one of those or go to other classes and everything. So since half the class wasn't there, they don't get a chance to vote, we went ahead and said, let's leave. Mark Lowry once said, that's one of the Christian comedians, I don't know if you're familiar with him or not, but he said when he gets up in the morning, he doesn't feel like a Christian, doesn't look like a Christian, doesn't smell like a Christian, but he is a Christian because he knows he has his salvation. And that's the way we are sometimes. We don't always look like it or feel like it or not even smell like it. But we are Christians if we've accepted Christ as our Savior. I think it was this book. Last Sunday was Father's Day, and the lesson I had was about Rahab. I thought that might be appropriate for Father's Day, and that's something get your dad that for Father's Day, he wouldn't forget it. But everybody knows who Rahab is. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we're going to be talking, well, we're going to start with John chapter 10. Start with verse 27. We'll try to go back to some of the other ones.
Verse 27?
John 10, 27.
All right. Can we read it?
27 through 30.
All right. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they will follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one.
Okay. What's Jesus telling people?
Once you're in his flock, that's where you are. And no one's going to take you from it.
Okay. He said, my sheep, well, in the King James Version, it says here. And some of the other versions says listen. When you go back to the old Aramaic, or whichever was written in at that time, they had a lot of different words that when we translated them, we just pulled out what we thought was the best, but they got pretty specific. So I think the word listen might be a little bit better than hear, because we hear a lot of things, but we don't always listen to them. One of the things they point out is that we're actually part of two flocks. Trying to figure out if we're sheep, in this case. You have all the, if everybody is one big flock. But Jesus is talking about his flock. And in, back in those days, they'd have one pen and everybody put their sheep in there for the night and you know, for protection, keep animals and thieves and everything out with around the walls. And the shepherd would just come and call his sheep and they would hear his voice. And then they would go out and go on to pasture for the next day. And as for us now, what kind of voices do we hear? And when we're in the big flock, and with all the other people around, we can hear other people coming and calling their sheep, but that doesn't mean anything to us. because that's not our shepherd. It says, in terms of the biblical metaphor, you were part of a larger flock. It's all people that you heard. That you heard the voice of Jesus and followed him, becoming part of his unique flock. Then once we get to that, then we've got that's where our assurance comes from. Because that's when you are assured of a permanent connection to God and a place with him forever. Your eternal life may be fulfilled at the moment of death, but is received at the moment you trusted Jesus as your Savior. Jesus gives eternal life to all who hear his voice, calling them to salvation and choose to follow him. He gives us gift once and never takes it away. The writer of the book here had an illustration that he said he got from his Sunday school teacher when he was just a kid. So he took off his wedding ring and put it in the little boy's hand and said, hold that really tight. So he put both hands over it. And then the Sunday school teacher took his hands and put it over the boy's hands and said, now, can anybody get that ring away from us? And his answer again would be no. So that's how he was trying to give a metaphor of eternal salvation. If nobody's going to take us out of the hand of God. Can you think of any other examples for something like that?
That should be easy. You think it is more than more examples of that, like in life.
Yeah.
Even the safe's not that secure.
You say a safe?
Yeah.
That's funny because I was thinking about that. I used to work in a bank and I was thinking about the vault. Mm-hmm. I'm like, wait, put something in a safe deposit box, which is then inside the vault. Mm. Pretty darn safe, but then Crystal's like, even if it's like, well, it's true, it's not that safe.
And well, along the lines, you could have something like a baby in the arms of the mother. Not all mothers are the same, but if you try to take a baby away from them, you're going to have your hands full. And David, when he was a shepherd, what did he do?
Killed lions and bears with his slingshot, I guess.
I think he said he did it with his bare hands. He went after him.
I remember that from the Samson story.
Yeah.
Killed a lion with his bare hands.
Yeah. I think David did too. He went after him anyway. I don't know. I don't think he tore him apart like Samson did, but he was, but he got his sheep back. And Jesus, as the good shepherd, he's got those sheep, and he says that he laid down his life for his sheep. How many shepherds are going to do that? David was one of them that would. He'd go after them. But if you hire somebody to watch your sheep, what would you expect out of them? He'd come and tell you that the bear just ran off with all of them. Something like that. You know, that's, I don't know, you'd probably get out of it. But when they're your sheep, and you know they're yours, and you've brought them up,
you have more of a vested interest.
because Jesus knows his sheep by, yeah, by name. Nowadays, when he had to raise a bunch of sheep, they got numbers on them.
I think it's interesting when you put the perspective of we are the sheep in the great fold. Who do you hear constantly? Are you listening for your shepherd? You know, because if you're right, we hear lots. I mean, lots of worldly shepherd calls.
Yeah.
So are you listening constantly for your shepherd?
Yeah. And Satan's always there with his voice, trying to call you away from the flock.
Yeah. But if you are with your shepherd, he says you're safer than the bank vault. Mm-hmm. I mean,
it's got a question here. Why is it sometimes hard to trust that our salvation is secure despite Jesus' strong assurance?
Because we always tend to think we need to do something to earn, like we don't deserve it. And so if we get caught up in that, I'm not being good enough, then I think that people, I mean, like, I don't struggle with doubting my salvation, but I'm just saying, like, I think that some people think that maybe they're not, you know, well, maybe I just haven't been good enough, or maybe, I don't know. Just the thought.
I think, too, there are so many other voices, so many other things calling, and as I don't know if it's a hot take or not, but some are louder to others than the right one, you know? So I think that with all these voices you're surrounded by, it's sometimes doubt works its way in, you know? Because I mean, in the group of sheep, I'm sure all the sheep's ears perk up when someone starts calling, but only the ones that know the shepherd's voice follow the right voice. So I think it's because our ears keep perking up.
And you might be hearing people scream that God might be speaking to you in a still small voice.
Exactly.
Another break.
Oh. Hey.
Yeah, I mean, I think it is interesting. It makes you think about a lot of things you didn't think about before, because it's like, they're, you know, yeah, it's like if you think of it as we're all in this sheepfold of life, and there's a lot of different voices. Some of them are, you know, flashy and interesting and distracting, and if you think of all of these things as shepherds calling to you, you know, it's like, which one, like you said, which one are you listening to? Which one are you following? It's not that you're not following some shepherd. They're a shepherd. But what happens if the sheep goes off with the wrong shepherd?
Jumped.
How long does it take to realize you're following your herd all the way?
I would say more importantly that the shepherd tells the sheep where to go. And that's probably the scariest thing for me is, you know, is what shepherd are you following that says, hey, sheep, you know, come this way, go here, do this thing. And then that's, you know, if it's the wrong shepherd, you're doing the wrong thing.
Yeah. Might be going to the meat market.
That's right.
Oh. Good point. You don't have to be one of Betsy's sheep.
Scott, you still have all the voices like you used to? The medication helps.
Okay.
Oh,
Another question to have for you, how does knowing we are secure in Christ change the way we live? Or does it?
I'd say it incentivizes you to walk with, I don't know, a better posture for me. Like if I, the way that I change the way I live is like you said, you wake up, you may not smell or look like a Christian or whatever, but if you're a Christian, you should want to. So you might want to get up and you might want to, you know,
smell
better, take a shower, you know, or something like that, you know. So for me, it comes with an identity and you want to live that identity, then have that good posture of a Christian if you're going to call yourself one.
Okay.
So for me, that it fuels me to want to walk like that.
It's also like when we talked about earlier about reading the Bible. Yeah, we're not cramming for finals or looking for loopholes. We're reading the Bible because we want to. Because it makes us feel better. Not that we have to do it to get the world to get to heaven, but because we want to. Because we are saved, it's something we want to do.
Right up front, right here.
You guys get to be front and center of the chairs. Come on. Yeah, you know, I saw a bumper sticker one time that said, I mean, it has just stuck in my head so much because I'm just like, what? It said, how much sin can I get away with and still make it into heaven?
Whoa.
I know, right? And I was like, that is a very weird way to look at that. Like, I mean, obviously none of us are going to be perfect, but yeah, I think it's about, yeah, so we don't earn our salvation by our works, but it's like Zach was saying, you know, it's about wanting to do the right things. And I think that that's where people get their wires crossed, is it's like, it becomes about doing the right things for the right reason. You know, it's like, I'm not doing these things because, I think it's, if you think of it like your family, it's about doing something for someone, not because you have to, you know, it's like, I'm required to do this, this is just what I have to do, but doing it because you love that person. You know, it's about having the right motivation, I guess, the right attitude and why we do things. Okay. But yes, but it's like Josh was saying, like, if you, like, what's the first thing you want to do? Like, if you love somebody, what do you want to do? Like, you want to do nice things for them, right? Like, you want to do stuff that makes them happy and pleases them.
Makes them proud.
There you go, Brian.
So you can help, too. I think a lot of people treat Christianity like a diet, because diets end. They aren't forever. But having good health means a lifestyle change. You change your whole life. It revolves around doing the right thing. So people are like, oh, how much can I eat and not gain weight? How much can I do this and, you know, not feel terrible? It's not about that. It's a lifestyle change.
Yeah.
I think when it comes to reading our Bible, like, that is a major way of being able to hear the shepherd's voice. Mm-hmm. You know, because sometimes I wander around and I'm like, why can't I hear God's voice right now? I could really, you know, I want to. But it's not as easy as just wandering through life and expecting it to just happen to you. I mean, sometimes mm-hmm. it feels like that happens once in a while, but to really be seeking that out is to be sitting down and reading your Bible. And sometimes that feels difficult to do. But when you really need direction in your life, or you just know that to discipline myself, to make myself sit down and start reading, it usually ends up benefiting me. But once in a while, or many times, you know, it's early in the morning and I have 100 other things I'd rather be doing. And, you know, so sometimes it just takes a little bit of like, I'm gonna sit down, kind of make myself do this. And usually it ends up working out, you know, and overall being a really good thing. But it's taken a lot of even getting through some of the harder parts of the Bible, you know, the drier parts. You know. But it's all God's word and it's all God's plan when you see it working together.
I think that really answers that. There was, I think, the question you said, what does it mean if we're in his flock? It means you should be following your shepherd. And that's very difficult sometimes because, I mean, for the metaphor, I mean, it sounds simple, but reality is like, you don't have to, this is not a word, you must read scripture or you will not be saved, but how do you hear and follow the shepherd's voice in a world that's so corrupt and fallen, and it's complicated. It's a complicated world. And so I think that's a difficult thing that we all grapple with, is how even Christians among Christians argue. They all claim that they're following Christ, but there's lots of things that, you know, what you call politics, you can call it, you start talking about the hot button topics of homosexuality, abortion, stuff like that. And when you have infighting in amongst the crowd itself, how do you hear the shepherd's voice and say, what do I do? Where's my vote belong? Where does my decision go? You know, that's very difficult. Yeah, so I mean, you better have your tool belt.
Yeah, so it's a complicated world, and we have to live in it. Mm-hmm. That's like the whole outer flock, and like today, we can come together with a smaller flock of like-minded people. This is kind of where we can grow from. We don't always have to be out in that outer flock. We've got people we can come to and be together. And, by the way, Brad, I just kind of wandered in and I'm supposed to be teaching John, just couldn't make it. And,
oh, that's fine. Yeah.
And so I didn't want to scare anybody away thinking I'm, you
know. Don't worry, Jim. I say the same thing to everyone. I come in and they usually take off, but that's the only difference.
We got nominated. Voluntold. Yeah.
If we can, let's go back to still in John 10, go back to verse 7 to 11. We'll get that one too, Zach.
Sure. 7 through 11. So Jesus said again to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep."
Okay. So it says then that Jesus said unto them again. It says somebody said before. If we go back a little ways, who's Jesus talking to at this time? Or would you want to guess?
I think it's just his disciples, isn't it?
Not this time.
When verse 1, he said, "Very surely I tell you, Pharisees."
Okay.
Yeah,
Pharisees. So I'm assuming, mm-hmm, was he talking to Pharisees?
He's talking to the Pharisees.
Well, it doesn't say that.
Well, it was later on, because it says he's at the temple.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, the end of the last one says some of the Pharisees heard these things that can we be blind to.
Okay. So he's talking to the Pharisees, and then when he gets over to the part where it says him and God are one, then that gets them all upset. Mm-hmm. And that's when they, again, take up stones to try to stone him. And then again, he gets away from him. But
who do you think who is Jesus referring to in verse 8? He says, all who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them.
Who do you think?
Idols?
Okay, idols, the Pharisees, they had a whole list of do's and don'ts. Yeah, they want people to, they wanted people to follow them.
Okay.
But that's,
they're thieves and robbers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. My version says, all who ever came before me, mm-hmm. but this isn't my favorite translation, to be honest. Mm-hmm. But I think that's interesting because surely like Moses and mm-hmm. the major prophets wouldn't be included in all that came before me, you know?
Yeah.
I'm thinking maybe people claiming to be the Messiah before him.
Yeah.
Anybody who is falsely claiming that, false prophets.
And yet it could just be his way of saying, I am the only one.
I think it is, though, it's very interesting. He is pointing out the fact that he's laying his and thereby God's intention. He's not here for himself. He's here for the benefit of the sheep. It's not about him. It's about salvation. It's about giving them life and life more abundant. Yeah, it's just, it's not just to add to a flock.
Yeah.
You know, I got a bigger flock than you. It's not about serving. It's about him serving. It's not about serving himself, though. It's, I guess that's hard. In this world, you know, every time we see somebody getting lifted, you almost have to, say, you know, well, what's in it for you?
Yeah.
But
some people refer to it as Jesus came to feed the flock, mm-hmm. not to shear the flock, mm-hmm. not to get something out of it for themselves. And that's kind of hard for people to understand. You know, why does somebody want to do something for someone else and not get anything in return? The only thing he got in return was that he was crucified. What about those next two words there? Verily, verily. Some birdies say truly, truly.
What verse?
What's that?
Seven. I mean, he starts off one and seven. He said truly, truly. I think that means he's not, there's no metaphor involved. He's saying, this is it.
Yeah, pay attention. He said it twice here.
Yeah.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. So how are you going to get to that flock? You have to go through Jesus to get there. He is the door. And the others, the thieves and robbers, are going to come through that door. They're going to try some other way, but they can't get past him. And he's got all the sheep there. He's taking care of them.
And then he makes it very clear, it can't.
Yeah.
You cannot snatch it from the water.
Is off. And verse 8 says, all came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. They tried to get them to go their way, but they weren't the shepherd. And then again at 9 says, I am the door. Whoever comes through that door shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. So once we get in that box, so telling us that, that's where we're going to stay for the rest of our lives, right there. Still going to be able to go in and out, still have certain freedoms, still have to be part of the bigger flock at times. But we still have that flock. It's going to be the our whole base, I guess.
Bible says at night shepherds in Bible times led their flocks to lie down in a natural sheep pen, an area boxed in by brush or rock. The shepherd slept in the opening and literally became the gate to the sheepfold. With his own body, he would protect the sheep from wild animals and robbers. This is what Jesus, the gate and the good shepherd, does for us. By sacrificing his life, he has provided the means for our protection from the evil one. In Christ, we can find security knowing that he is watching over us.
This book it says, when someone claims Jesus is a good teacher, but not the only Savior, they are contradicting themselves. If Jesus is a good teacher, that means he taught truth. And one key truth he taught was that he is the only way of salvation. If he lied about this, then he is not a good teacher. He is a fraud. You cannot believe Jesus is a good teacher and reject what he taught. So what do we tell people when they start talking about Buddha and everybody else and there other ways to get to heaven?
The same kind of argument is made when it talks about salvation. It's a lot of those people will say, well, your religion is good, my religion is good, everyone's religion is good, and we can all, you know, rejoice in our religions together. And the argument is, well, what if my religion says yours is wrong? And I mean, that's because everyone says, not everyone, but, you know, people who come from that kind of background will say that everyone's is right. Mine is right. Yours is right.
Yeah.
Well, if mine is right and says you're wrong,
yeah,
then yours can't be right. Yeah. So I don't know how this works.
So
the math doesn't add up.
Exactly.
But, well, what we go by is what Jesus said. And like it says, if Jesus is wrong, he was lying to us, and this whole thing's just all falling apart. But so we have our trust in him. We have our salvation, and we should be so secure in that salvation. We don't have to worry about waking up the next day and not being saved. We might not act saved, we might not look saved, or
smell saved.
You don't smell safe.
Oh.
You know, if I stink, you guys could have just told me. I don't keep making hints. Jeez. You know, one of the things that I like to say when people are like, well, I don't know, you know, I don't necessarily believe in God, or I don't believe it that way, or whatever. My take is this. If you're right and I'm wrong, I don't feel like I missed out on anything in life, you know? Like, if you're right and I'm wrong and there is no afterlife, or there's no heaven, or there's no God, that's fine. I still lived a good life and I don't feel like I was deprived of anything. But if I'm right and you're wrong, that's an entirely different story. So you better think about that.
Yeah. Oh, man. So,
John 14, verses 5 through 7. Says, Jesus, the way to the Father. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him.
Yeah, that's what our basis is. You get the Jesus is the way. Other religions don't believe. I mean, it's up to them. Had a preacher once it said there's a country church, I guess, and they had some guy in there that wasn't quite all there or something. But, they gave the invitation, and he came up to this one guy and grabbed him by the arm and said, "Don't you want to go forward and be saved?" And the guy said, "Well, no." So we'll go to hell then and just walked away. But I don't think we can be quite that direct with everybody. But really, you have to be called by the Spirit. The Spirit calls, and we react to it and go from there. Anybody else have anything to say?
I always come back to the fact, I don't know all the different religions out there, what their basis and stuff is, but I'm pretty sure, I think, Christianity is the sole, or at least I think is the basis for any type of work. It's all around serving. It's not about just serving these specific people. It's always about serving the world. It's not about protecting a state. It's not about protecting only one group. It doesn't say go out and kill those that are not.
Yeah.
It is literally, no, I want to save all. And those who are first now will be last later. So go out and serve. That's not a self-serving thing. And I think that's not an easy thing. And therefore, most of the time, you know, it's like, if it sounds too good to be true, well, this doesn't sound too good to be untrue. It sounds like there's work, it's hard. And that means there's probably a good amount of truth underneath of it. It's the only thing that really puts peace into the world. It's such a volatile place. It's not about just save yourself. It's not about serving yourself. It's hard.
Yeah, it's up to us to give the message, let the Spirit do the work. Mm-hmm. I don't think we're going to get anywhere of our argument with other religions.
Right.
Well, come back next week and it'll be a real teaching day.
Thank you.
We were lost without Shepherd here.
Would you lead us in a word of prayer? Thank you.
Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this day and for a chance to come together and study your word. Pray that, you know, we can take something from it and that we can better hear our Shepherd and the message, this direction, where he wants us to go, what he wants us to do. And please fail us when if we misstep or mishear, and know that we're trying. And please be with all of us as we go throughout the coming weeks. Be those that right now that maybe don't have air conditioning or something, give them shelter, comfort, relief from the heat, and see to all their needs. And watch over God and protect us, and please forgive us when we fail you. And we ask all this in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.